Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey everyone, Yas here, and I just wanted to say it's great to have you join me today because I'm sure we're going to have another fantastic episode. So whether you're here for the first time or if you're one of the repeat loyal listeners of the show, I truly appreciate you. But before we get to today's guest, I just have a small favour to ask, and that's if you could just take a brief moment to hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Ensure that you share it with all your coaching friends, and don't forget to get in touch, guys. Let me know your thoughts on what you think of today's episode or any of the recent episodes you've listened to. You can do this on Twitter at The Coaches Net. Once again, that's at The Coaches Net. And please make sure you do, as I'd love to hear your thoughts, guys. Anyway, on to today's show. I hope you enjoy it. Have a great day, guys.
The Coaches Network.
Hey, guys. You're now listening to The Coaches Network podcast, a podcast aimed at anyone who's passionate about athlete, talent, and personal development. My name's Coach Yas, and I'm a UEFA A-licensed football coach developer, and content creator. I'll be sitting down with a range of guests to discuss their journeys, their life lessons, and how you can make an impact. Enjoy.
Discussion tonight, we want it to be really interactive. So this is part of an FA accredited series that we're doing in preparation for the webinar, which will be preparing for the UEFA B license. But tonight's focusing on principles of play. My name's Gerard Jones. I'm a director of coaching at Major League Soccer Sport in Kansas City, alongside being a coach educator with the FA and United States Soccer Federation. Really looking forward to the call.
Well, it's definitely just to echo on what Gerard said there, first spaces session of the new series that we're launching for this month, where we're going to be looking at preparing for the UEFA B license. One that we have done in the past a few months back, but hopefully some additional pieces will come out in the conversation we'll have over the next few weeks, as well as the webinar we'll deliver at the end of the month. Just a reminder, these are FA accredited CPD, so we'll share some details on how we can access the CPD hours for that throughout this conversation. But just a bit of that around myself. My name is Yas, for those that don't know. Similar to Gerard, coach developer, working across different programs, different workshops and courses for the FA in particular, including the C license, B license, national goalkeeping certificate, as well as being part of the delivery of the talent ID pathways as well. So a bit of insight around that. But Gerard, straight into it, man. Principles of play, where does your mind take you? Well, I'm always interested to know, because we're always starting at different points when we bring some old topics back to the forefront. But where are your thoughts on this one?
So principles of play exist in every game, irrespective of whether you have a certain preference of how your team wants to play. You have ideally, you do have an idea, a game idea, in terms of when we have the ball, we want to do this, when we haven't got the ball, and where you are on relation to the field geography, the pitch geography. But the principles are really, for me anyway, they're strategies that exist in every game across all moments of the game. So if we're talking when we've got the ball attacking, defending, when we're going from attacking to defending and from defending to attacking, so you've got defensive and offensive transition. You could also include restarts in there, set pieces. The game is very simple. We want to make sure that we're creating an opportunity for players to understand how we want to play within the moments of the game. So the principles don't change. Now, how you work principles could change. You know, I work in environments and I've got a preference. I'll talk about play forward, breaking lines as a principle, and the sub-principle that would be whether we're finding the free player, whether we're playing through, around or over. So there's certain things there, right? In other formats, it could be where we're applying pressure, the compactness, if we're in a defending moment, where we're reducing space and time between lines vertically, horizontally. So with the FA, they typically talk about, and it's changed now, Yas, right, where we've got some new revised principles, but they'll use the word penetration as an example, whereas I would refer to that as breaking lines. I've seen other clubs have similar principles, but they word it even differently. There's no right or wrong as long as your players understand, but the principles are there that are a constant throughout each game. So that's where my mind goes, is the principles of play is that fundamental. When we, let's say we've got the ball, the first principle, whether we're looking to create the space of the attack or looking to create depth, how are we doing that? So it's a framework, really.
Yeah, no, it's good. I think there's quite a few different things in there for me to kind of really just, one, think about, two, unpack, and that, three, a pretty spark some further thought. And you talk there about the terminology. I think really to understand, it doesn't really matter what you call them, as obviously as that, right? And I'm big on language. I'm big on, I guess, simplicity. I think one of the questions that will come out is, why are we talking about the principles of play and preparing for the UEFA B license if they are principles of the game? I think it's important to probably give some context and understanding to the way coach education has shifted, content of courses has shifted, and where this sits. I think certainly going through my own journey, obviously, principles of play were kind of really initially just really touched upon at level one kind of award, kind of, you know, in the pathway. Level two, they gave you some basic principles and terminology might have shifted again when you got to B license and even A license. But I think if we strip it right back regarding the qualification, let's look at the game to start with. And the objective is simple. You know, it is an invasion game, as you quite rightly said. And the objective is to do one thing, put the ball in the back of the opposition net. Now, everything.
Yeah, score more goals than the opposition.
Precisely. And even if you're not necessarily scoring the goals, that should be the objective. And everything you do should be linked to working towards getting that to be the case. So I think on that, it's stripping it right back. And I think one of the messages I always try and go off is, and I'm really strong about, is it's us as coaches that complicate it. It's not the players. It's not the game that gets complicated. We actually make it complicated. And the game is that simple, to the point where all we need to let the players understand as a first and foremost, you know, principle, if you like, is can we outscore the opposition and stop them from doing that to us? And then, you know, when you take it away from football itself and you start looking at other invasion games, especially those that aren't necessarily considered sports, then you really start to, I think, emphasise and really understand how the principles are the principles and why they are what they are, because it is about trying to get to that central point, which is obviously in this case scoring a goal. And how you do that once you start involving multiple numbers is, you know, through stretching out enemy lines, if you like, and breaking through enemy lines, if you like, going around them if need be, going through them where possible, going over them if need be. And it's just, it is that simple. So, I mean, those are kind of the initial thoughts off the back of what you said. And I guess my question to you would be, this series is looking at preparing for the UEFA B license. Why, in your case, from your perspective, is it important to really consider these now?
Well, ultimately, it's going to influence how your team want to play, which means it influences how you want to coach, because the players have to have a very clear idea in knowing what it is that we're trying to do in those moments in the game. So for the B license, where I see a lot of coaches can struggle, is I look at their training session, but even the session objective, and I'm teaching on a B license course now, and I'm seeing coaches submit the session plans, and it's not clear. The training session objective isn't clear. It's too vague and too general. So if that isn't right, the rest isn't going to be right. You know, what's the objective of each activity? Well, that should be based on the principles we're going after. So what's the main principle that we want to work on today? And what's the counter principle? And then your sub-principles coaching points.
Do you mind just expanding on that? Because I'm conscious that obviously there's going to be people jumping on this call right now that maybe are still just getting to grips.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to, so what I was going to say was, if you think about a game model, and this will come up in the B, Your game model is almost it's a framework of how you want to play. It's the description of the desired behaviours that we want to see on the pitch. And it contains your... Bloody hell, this bad driver. Sorry about that. And it contains, obviously, the game idea, your team tactical main principles, your sub-principles, which is and then your player actions. When we're talking about principles, what we're saying is these are guidelines for the decision-making, the behaviour of an individual or group of players in each specific game situation based on the game idea. So they exist in several layers, and it's our language. So if I talk about, for example, attacking, right? When we're attacking, we have the ball. We want to play forward. We want to look forward, think forward, play forward through individual actions, short interactions, combinations, to be able to find ways to the flow towards the opposition's goal, right? Create chances to score. You said it simply. Well, how do you do that? So that's the what. The description I talked about before is the what. The how is the principles. Well, we have to be able to create our shape. We have to be able to play forward, provide options to play forward, break lines. So with US soccer even as well, we talk about breaking lines to advance the attack. We talk about how we finish the attack as quick as possible. So if we're thinking about, let's say, break lines as a main principle, right? So when our team's got the ball, how are they eliminating the opposition's pressure or line of pressure, their defensive strategy? So I often say when I'm coaching players, I'll ask players, how can your pass or your dribble eliminate two or more defenders here, right? Don't tell me, show me. So I'm giving them that option. So our main focus is to break lines of pressure, to advance the attack. If that's your main principle, then your sub-principles would be finding the free player. Who is the free player, either between lines or behind the lines? And when I'm talking about lines, I'm talking about if you were to connect the dots of players when they're pressing, that line, that structure, it's how we play in between or behind the opponent defensive pressure. Yeah. Another sub-principle might be how you engage the opponent. How are you engaging the opponent 1v1 or 2v1 or 1v2 or whatever? How are you driving with the ball to exploit space? How are you potentially playing around the block or switching the point of attack? So those would be, if we're looking at breaking lines, the sub-principle to break line would be through, around, or over, and how you do that to find the free player. The sub-sub-principle would be the other layer, right? So you've got these sort of details. So if it's creating our attacking shape, well, the main objective there, if we're talking about our shape and our structure when we've got the ball, tactically you might talk about, hey, I want my team, when we've got the ball, 11 aside, we want to, in possession, in animation, because there's a difference between formation and animation. Formation is a start position, not a set position. So players can move and interchange playing positions in animation. Animation means that as the players are moving, what does the shape look like? So in possession, it might be a one, including the goalkeeper, 2-3-5, let's say, like some teams do, where you've got a lot of attacking threat, making the field long and wide. So the objective there is to position our players to stretch the opponent, right, to create space. So the main principle is how we're creating that attacking shape, what it looks like. The how is your sub-principle. So it's not so much the what, it's the how. So the how would be how you've got the height, the width, the depth, you know, and the distances between players. That's your sub-principles. So when you're coaching, I'm giving, you know, a lot of info here, but when you're coaching, the principles, if I strip this back further, the principles are to guide us in our coaching. So if my main principle, I'm giving a couple of different examples here when we've got the ball. I could do it for any moment. If it's breaking lines, if it's our attacking shape, whatever it is, your sub-principles is really the coaching detail in the activity. So what this means is that we're not going after patterns. So it's not patterns of play, and it's not necessarily phases of play. It's areas of play, if anything. When we're in certain areas, how are players exploiting the principles, which is decision-making? How are they finding opportunities to solve problems based on our idea of how we want to play? And that's what we teach at the B license level, even here in the US. So for the coaches, we simplify it in when your team's got the ball, what do you want it to look like? Oh, well, I want my team shape to be like, okay, when he's got the ball here, how do you want him to break lines? Oh, well, I want him to do, okay. So it's your coaching points. So that'll help you design a session activity, a session plan that's structured around the principles of play because they don't change. Now, the interactions with the players, that's the bit that will change based on the environment. So what we've got to try and do is we're not coaching patterns or set fixed structures of how we want to play because that implies that the game doesn't change, which we know it does. The game is unpredictable, dynamic, forever changing and random. So if we know that, then we have to create an environment where players understand where to look and how to move. Well, they're only going to get that by being involved in recognizing the principles that exist within the game. So they're looking for the cues or triggers of, right, this player's pressing me here and this defender's there. If I play this pass, that'll split two or three defenders and I've found the free player, which is the sub-principle. But the main principle is how we break lines with that forward pass, as an example. So that helps you as a coach players to be better decision makers and problem solvers. So that's what the game's about at the B license level. Whereas often a lot of coaches try and coach these. And I was taught this, you know, it's almost like negative teaching, really. When I did the old B license, you know, over a decade ago, it was very much stop, stand still, rigid patterns. The number seven rolls in here. The number two does this. You had a manufactured coaching start position to get into your topic. And there was set scripts, if you like, of how you wanted the players to play and how it was all pattern-based. You know, if the opposition do this, then we do this. But the danger with that can become is that we're not coaching principles. We're coaching a pattern that might never occur the same way again. And if the opposition do something different, which they do in a game, well, then what? So sorry, that's a really long-winded answer, but the principles of play are to guide the players' decision-making. Sure. So if we want our kids to do that, then we need to put them in environments where they can make those decisions. I don't know if you've got any questions on that.
Do you know what, mate? My brain's fried. It's in overdrive right now, right? And it's in overdrive because it's gone in so many different directions, and I feel like I'm going back and forth, reversing around corners and all sorts. And I think the first thing to kind of really highlight on what you said there, and this is the thing that I always talk about, we have to keep it simple. We have to keep the players' eyes on the objective of the game. Once we help the players understand the objective of the game and use that as a basis to do everything else, then everything else automatically, in my opinion, becomes very, very intentional, right? Because we move away from this idea of players just doing things for the sake of doing things and it not being linked to the game. And the easiest way just to draw that line for me is just make sure they understand the principle that is, we're trying to score a goal. Everything we do, and this is, a simple thing that I started doing very early on, was it doesn't matter what your theme is. Whether it's passing, receiving, whether it's combination play, whether it's dribbling, whatever it is, just add a small sentence on the end of whatever the theme is, and that's in order to penetrate. Now, you add that small sentence on the end and then ask yourself, does my session still look the same? And if it does, then you're probably on the right track already. Because whatever you're doing is directional and it's in order to penetrate. It's not just passing and receiving for the sake of passing and receiving. Because, again, if the objective is to score, then we need to make sure the players understand that everything should be leading to the point of being able to go forward again, if you like. And I think that's a starting point. In terms of, you know, you mentioned about the B license and, you know, having a somewhat rigid approach in that, you know, the manufactured start positions and all the other stuff that comes with it. And I think it's really, really important to kind of highlight that. That's not, in my opinion, necessarily a bad thing. As long as you understand and you help your players understand how they get into that position in the first place and then how they potentially come out of it. And then obviously you then start to talking about coaching, really the principles around the what you're looking at, but actually having a strong enough understanding of the principles so that you can get to a point of identifying the what ifs. So what if the opposition don't respond in that way? Well, then what? Well, if you base your practices and you base your understanding of your or the delivery of your sessions on the principles, then you'll always have a better, you know, you'll have a better opportunity to identify the what ifs. So if the opportunity, if you know, and I always go back to what I say in that I think the game is full of patterns. Now there's anomalies to everything, but there is some frequent patterns. And you know, the phrase that I've started using a lot recently, and it really kind of links in well with just coaching in general, right? My technique is in response to your technique. So whatever you do, I'm going to read that, and it's going to inform me on maybe what I should potentially do. Not what I have to do, not what I must do, but what I should do based on me trying to achieve those principles in response to how you've done it. And then we look at one of the other principles which comes out, which is creativity. And you know, the thing that I say with the creativity piece is it's not having to do something that's never been done before, but it's going against what that pattern would typically produce as a response, if that makes sense. So it's not a case of, oh, because you've got a low block that I can't play over it. Well, no, I can. It's just probably not the likely outcome that people would expect. It's just how specific and then how nuanced all the stuff in between and around it needs to be to make sure that you're still able to get the success. And based on those patterns, you're largely playing with a game of probabilities, right? In that you're expecting certain responses to happen because the game is based on those principles. And if you're playing the game based on those principles, then you're more likely to be able to have a predictability aspect of what you're going to see. So I think that, you know, there's so much more in what you said, but to start with, I think it is just going back to those principles. How well do you understand the game? And not the game as in, oh, well, all the sub principles and all the other stuff that comes with it and all your philosophy and all of that stuff there. The question is, how well do you understand the principles? Because those principles should then inform your coaching philosophy, more specifically around your playing style, than anything else. And you know, and I always go back to this one example. Louis van Gaal at Man United. The game was based on dominating possession, right? And that wasn't the issue. The issue wasn't about dominating possession. The issue largely was the fact they were dominating possession with no clear intent to penetrate, which meant they were just dominating possession for the sake of dominating possession. And the issue that will always come with that is eventually, if you lose that possession because you weren't trying to go forward, there's a possibility you could end up near your goal. The opposition get one chance, they score, and now you've lost the game despite having dominated that possession. So I think it's always understanding that sentence on the end of whatever you're doing, again, whether it's passing, whether it's dribbling, whether it's switching the play, whatever it is, add that small piece on the end that just says, in order to penetrate. And if your session needs to change off the back of you doing that, it probably wasn't aligned to the needs of the game and the demands of the game in the first place. So just some initial thoughts from myself. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but I think it's a great time to kind of just, I guess, invite people into the conversation as well. So if anyone has got any questions, any thoughts, any ideas they want to share with us, or anything that's challenged their current thinking, then please feel free to do that just by raising your hand as well.
No, it'd be great to get someone in. I mean, I do want to say to what you said, you're spot on in that when I'm throwing these terms out, I'm not trying to sound intelligent or anything like that. That sometimes we can overcomplicate it. And I'm not suggesting that all this information or sub-principles and all this stuff, we're going to share all of that with the players, because I think we've got to think about that general idea. Now, coaches will have their preference. You mentioned Man United there under Louis van Gaal. I still remember going to a reserve game with the under-23s with my dad watching Man United. And it was exactly that, even with the 23s. It was a lot of passes backwards and sideways, but nothing vertical. Nothing went forward. You know, and it was interesting, and that was more possession for possession's sake. Well, the object of the game is, can we go forward? You know, because it's directional, we've got to break a line. So I think obviously I'm not a huge fan of penetration. I've shared that on previous. It doesn't matter. It's all semantics, as long as your words make sense to the players and it's aligned with the language in the club and you can coach it, then that's great, you know. I'm obviously fortunate. I've been involved in like 4 out of the 6 continental bodies of football governance, and I've seen what the FAW have done. I've seen what, you know, working under Roshan Roberts, I've seen what we did in Morocco, and obviously I created a lot of it, seen what the US are doing, and it's fascinating. And really, we're all talking about the same stuff, aren't we? You know, it's just packaged slightly differently. But I just shared a couple of images, and one is really reiterating what Yaz just said. So in our club, we have this model, and we have a simplified version of it, attacking and what we want to do. They're our principles. So when we're attacking, when we've got the ball, we're looking for breaking lines, play forward, find the free player, rotation and balance and finishing. But within that, the simplest one is our attacking principle is the best option to go forward and score. That's it. So like all that stuff I said before, that's probably more for coaches, and it's not to bamboozle anybody, but there's a lot of layers you can go into this if you really study. But the ultimate, Yaz, I completely agree with you. Like I don't share all of everything with all the coaches, but we do share this with Sporting. It's attacking principle, and with the players, it's the best option to go forward and score. Defensive principle is stop their ability to go forward by denying space. That's it, done. Now, how we do that, we'll go, and I'll give you an example. You know, I've coached U8s today, U9s, U13s, and U19s. So there's a lot of different formats there. The U8s are actually playing up against, they're playing U9, so they play 7v7. With breaking lines, it looks different for them. You know, they will pass when they need to, but typically they'll break a lot of the 7-a-side. It's their breaking lines with their dribble and attacking wide spaces, right? There's not loads around finding a free player unless it's during certain transitional moments, because we've got to recognise what their game looks like and the turnovers. But then when I was coaching, when I think about the U13s or the 17s that I ran today and yesterday that they won, their breaking lines is a lot more strategic around how we're moving the ball to move the opposition to probe and find. Or rotation and balance. So even at the U9s yesterday, if the centre-back steps into the field, the number 5, and she goes beyond the 6 knows to drop in. So that's rotation and balance. So we're always in shape as a principle. We're always in good balance in case we lose the ball. We're thinking about the what if, but we're identifying how to fit positions. There might be times where if somebody goes beyond you, do you empty? How do you empty and fit and entertain? So even that's what it looked like at 7-a-side, and they're very, very good. And they can do it. These kids are smarter than we think. And then at 11-a-side, we've got players interchanging positions where, again, it's not a pattern. We might use the word pattern so we can conceptualize it, so that our brain can fixate on that movement. But really what it was the players were just doing unpredictable movements to try and cause a problem. And it was the timing of the movement. It probably goes back to your 6 capabilities of the FA. The timing, the movement, the positioning. How are they reading, identifying that information to solve that problem? So that's our principle. But the objective is, can we finish? And then how do we finish? So it really is the idea. That's why, and we talk a lot about that even with US soccer. We talk about what is the game idea when we've got the ball and we haven't got the ball. And then how are you designing environments around that? And I think that's where, as coaches, we can be fun with this, right? You can encourage your players to solve problems. I mean, I'm seeing, even at grassroots levels, unbelievable decision-making, you know, in terms of their ability to empty and fail and their ability to interchange positions, runs to deceive, runs to retrieve. So, again, it's your language. And then how are you coaching that? How are you giving your players the skills to recognise this information? And that's what the principles of play are there for, aren't they? They're to guide our game, whether you call it penetration or whether you call it something else. It's to guide how your players know what to do.
I think you're spot on. And I think, you know, something that, you know, just again, simplifying it, right? It's just, can we move the ball forward in whatever way, you know? And I think the way in which you can do it is almost, help them understand that's the objective. Let them decide how best to do it, right? Also, the concept I always go with is helping players. So look, be as if, you know, I don't know if this was consistent with your experience, but, you know, when I was coming through, the idea was highest, safest pass, right? It's not to say that we're trying to play long, direct football, but actually, highest safest pass can be left open to interpretation based on the individual on the ball, right? Highest safest pass meaning if I feel comfortable, I can only move it forward by one meter. Then it is what it is. If another reason, in another way, it's taken out two lines of the opposition players to go straight from back to front, then it is what it is. And I think that's where it's just laying down the objective rather than the methodology around it. Because at the end of the day, you know, the objective outweighs the methodology, in the sense that, I always go back to this example, I think it was like three, four years ago when Arsenal played Man City in the Carabao Cup final or wherever.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's Arsenal decided they wanted to press Man City, knowing that Man City is a team that likes to play out from the back. Man City said, all right, well, if that's what you're going to do, then we're going to do this instead. And they just knocked it long. Aguero went on through, scored a goal. Arsenal said, boy, we ain't going to press you again. And then Man City went back to, you know, plan A. And at the end of the day, you know, the message behind what I'm trying to say there is, the goal is to score the game. The game is to score the goal, sorry. So if that's the objective, and you're giving us that as an option to do it, and we believe we can do it that way, just get it done. Because we can have our plan A, but I think it's even going back to the example I gave about Louis van Gaal, right? Dominating possession for possession's sake. Pep Guardiola dominating possession, but doing it in a way where the small little 1-2 passes they play, the little sideways passes they play, they're not aimless passes. They're passes that are effectively there to set up and tease the opposition out of shape, in which case they're looking to play through and around you, right? But if you're going to...
It's got to be economical.
Well, this is it. But if you're going to give them that opportunity to play over you, they're going to do it. And that doesn't matter what league you're in, who your manager is, what coach you're coached by, what part of the world you're in. The game is the game. You're trying to force. That's what you should remain focused on. I mean, especially when it comes to young players, the one kind of, I guess, you know, clear goal or clear idea or clear kind of framework to work from that I give them is, well, how many players do you think you can take out of the game and just help them understand the different ways in which penetration can exist? And it's, you know, I always try and differentiate for them. You know, penetration for me is what you do on the ball. Movement is what you do off it. So just simplifying it, right? Because otherwise people think movement is penetration as well. Well, I mean, I get the idea of it. I get the idea and I understand why people would suggest that. But then, you know, you could be in danger of confusing the players around terminology and what the differences might actually be, especially.
Well, that's where it gets into. You've got individual things, aren't you? There, and I think that's where, as long as you know what you mean and the players that you have know what you mean, then that's okay, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
You know,
we had that on the webinar, didn't we, where there was a debate. Because can you penetrate with a movement? And you were suggesting, well, it's the player on the ball. But somebody was saying, yeah, but my movement to receive can penetrate and break the line. And then you're getting into that. You're getting into debate, aren't you, boys?
Yeah, I mean, I think the simpler way to look at it. Penetration can exist without all the other principles. The other principles are supplements to penetration. So if penetration can exist without all the other principles, then we can accept that penetration is what you do with the ball, because I can move wherever the hell I want, but if the ball is still at the back of the pitch, it's not penetrating, is it? So I think if you look at it through that lens, okay, this is just to simplify it for people more than anything else. I'm not saying this is the right way to do it, or it's the best way to do it, but it certainly, my opinion, and from all the people that I've worked with, does allow you to simplify the structure of what we're going after when we're talking about the principles of play. If you view penetration as something that you do with the ball and everything else what you do without it, then it makes it also easier for you to then look at, well, who am I coaching and when am I coaching them and what am I coaching them in relation to? So if I'm talking about movement as a thing, well, the movement isn't actually needed for me to penetrate, because if my name is Ronaldinho or Neymar and I feel comfortable to go past 11 players from the back to the front and actually round the keeper and put in the back of the net, and I don't need the movement, then I can still penetrate. The movement is something that you do away from the ball to support the penetration, in my personal opinion. And I think it's really important that when we get down to the nitty-gritty of it and start utilising these terms, you're right, we just need to use language, phrases, terminology, which is understandable by our players. But if we don't have a clear understanding and definition and able to differentiate how these some of these terms may overlap ourselves, then I don't believe we can truly begin to actually coach that to the players. I'm conscious you got your hand up, but so go for it, man.
No, I was going to say, I'm excited. You know, Mark's listening. Love to hear from you, Mark. You know, especially the experience you've got. And Mark would probably label himself as a pracademic, where he's got a foot in both camps, but he's obviously done a lot of work at AIK. And it's interesting because I look at the principles and how we use them to guide how we want our teams to play. I've got in my mind, and I might not be saying it right, but I've got in my mind some of the stuff that Mark's done when he was at AIK, where their principles of play were basically search, discover, and exploit. It was all about interactions. And then I looked at that and I thought, well, what an even simpler way of looking at it. How are you searching for information? How are you discovering it? How are you exploiting it? So the exploiting gaps. And then when they're recovering the ball, how are they closing the gaps? How are they minimising the opportunities? How are they winning the ball? And I don't know if Mark wants to share his thoughts or not, but I like, as you were talking, I just like how several people have their principles. You know, I was fortunate, I was in a CPD recently with Austin FC, and their principles were completely different. It wasn't like them trying to reinvent the wheel, but they were different, mate. They're very different to what we'd be conventionally taught on a coaching education course. But it works for their players at the top level and even at the grassroots and academy level. So I just found it fascinating. I'd love Mark to jump in if he can. And I think the language piece is huge, because we use a lot of terminology like empty and fill, probe and find. So you imagine you're probing, you're moving the ball to ask questions, who's going to bite? Someone comes out of their slot, you've created space, now you find the free player. So probe and find. We use hide and seek. So how you make runs to be blind on the blind side, but then seek to make a run on the ball. We talk about runs to, and I gave this to one of the academy players actually the other day. I said runs to receive, run to deceive, runs to retrieve. Runs to retrieve, go get the ball back. Runs to deceive, create space for yourself or your teammate, right? Runs to receive, how you're making offers to get on the ball. So it's how we simplifying the game for them without making them risk adverse. That's where I'm interested in. Mark, you're in. Great to hear from you. I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because you might blow it all out the park.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, all right. How are you? You all right? Greetings from Stockholm.
Yeah, greetings, man. I hope you're well. And I'm excited because you've got a very simplistic view on this, but even at the complex levels as well. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this. You know, what are the principles of play for you? Because I think I worded them right in terms of what you introduced at AIK, but I'd love to get your take on it.
Yeah, we tried to design as much of the practice in youth football around ideas of search, discover and exploit. We wanted in all our session designs that children do this. We have to give children the opportunities to explore, to learn, because rather than just very deterministic type designs where the child has to just carry out and execute one thing that's prescribed by the coach. So our session designs, and we use this now, and I'm associate professor in the Norwegian School of Sports Science. So we use this at the Norwegian School of Sports Science in education and a couple of sports. So in football, it's the foundation for task design model. So your session design, is there a ball, opponent, direction, you're going somewhere? Is there a consequence? You lose the ball, the opponent can go somewhere, and representative information. The idea being that you can have a lot of these things, but the information not be representative. So in some of the research work I was doing, there was UEFA B training session designs that I found where you had to play the ball from one side of the pitch to the other before you can score a goal. Why would you ever want to do that? I mean, if this universal prescribed rule from the coach, then it just means that the attacking team, the defending team are not acting in any way that's representative of the game. Because all the defending team has to do is if the ball's on one side of the pitch, just run over to the other side of the pitch. And they don't have to care about central areas. So even though there is a ball, opponent, direction and consequence in, say, in an 8v8 game, the rule, we call it the universal rule of switching the ball from one side to the other, is not in line with the game. Players are not acting on information that is representative of the game. So we do that, and then we have this idea called skilled intentions to play, and we describe football as playing through, around, or over the opposition, or minimizing the opponent's opportunities to play through, around, and over. And all these are, you never prioritize one over the other, you're just juggling these intentions. And it's you as a coach to try and guide players' attention and intentions to exploit and to search, discover, and exploit these opportunities to play through, round, and over, or minimize opponents from playing through, round, and over. This is, for me, it means that in training, the children are, whatever how you design a task, whether you really break it down or just have a very open game, that the task is always, there's always some information that is representative of the game they're acting on, and therefore the interactions as opposed to actions are faithful to the game as well, even if they're just down to 1v1s. So I think that's a brief summary of it, but the whole idea is that, so when I have students, when they come into our courses, because in our courses they can do their up to UEFA B and their bachelor and master's with us as well. The first thing is, what is football? Football is complex. You need to show this in your methodology. If you agree that it's complex, how do you display this in your methodology? And this is at different scales. There's no correct answer. Does that make any sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense. And I love the simplicity, and I love how I just like the language, intentionality, because there's a lot there where we need to, as coaches, how are we designing this intentionality, the interactions, the problems that we want our players to see. You hit the nail on the head. You know, some coaches might go against the natural principles of play. I've seen activities where, exactly to your point, you've got to, in order to score, you must go through this area before you can score.
Mm.
Well, then they're going to defend in a certain way, but you wouldn't want them to do that on a match day.
No.
And just the simplicity of what you said there of, and I still remember this phrase from Klopp years ago, where he said, are they playing through, round, or over?
No,
that was his halftime talk. That was literally his halftime talk, mate. It was, are they playing through round or over us? Mm. Playing through us, right? How are we preventing them from playing through us? And that simplicity, what you said of, are we playing through a round or over? How do we reduce their ability to play through a round or over? Yeah. It's just, it's the game, isn't it?
And how do we,
the representativeness.
And how do we help in our design with ball, opponent, direction, consequence, and representative information, encourage children to search, discover and exploit ways to play through, round and over? And you can design a session to prioritize playing over or playing through or playing around. You just need to manipulate what's called a constraint. So I've often done sessions. I did some experiments with my students, and some of them are professional players, and some of them are grassroots coaches. And I deliberately told one team, this is what I want you to do. And then I said to the other team, basically press high always. And, you know, and press in this way. And just said to the other team, see if they figured out what the opponent was doing. And what was the opportunity? And so it was like, okay, after a while, they kind of figured out, well, we need to play the ball over. So what happens then is when they played over or managed to find a gap to play through, because it was very hard to play around with that press, that it meant the opposition, when they pressed high, they were a bit more careful about how they pressed. And they improved their pressing as well, which then meant that the team with the ball had to also improve how they played over and through. So it's kind of, you know, this kind of co-adaption that's constantly going. So sometimes I would just say to a team, try this and see if the other team notices how they're doing. Are the other team paying attention to what the opposition are doing, and what are the opposition to their behavior actually inviting them to do?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's goldmine stuff, because this is the beauty of coaching. It's designing environments that look like their game, giving them problems to solve, asking questions that force them to have to search for information to come up with their own solution. Mm-hmm. I've used this phrase a lot, which is practice is search, learning is search, a bit from obviously Newell, but if we view it like that, and even the starting point that we talked about right at the start of this and when you came in, of we know the game is complex, we know the game is dynamic, it's unpredictable, it's forever changing. How we design an environment that look like that, how we managing the chaos, the randomness, and I like how you talked about, we mentioned this on previous calls where we said some stuff is announced or unannounced. Announced meaning that we're telling everyone what's happening, or some people what's happening, and unannounced that we haven't. And live is just pure random, which is the game. Mm. And I've done the same thing. I still remember, you'll know Rusty.
Yeah.
I remember Rusty doing this with the England rugby. Mm. I went to watch him. This is two decades ago. It's an England rugby camp. And he literally said to some of the players, he said, hey, I want you to play bubble bump. He gave him a challenge. And he goes, let's see if the opposition can figure it out. And then what he did, he asked them at half time. He said, did anyone notice how they were getting rewarded points? What was the way they were playing? And one little boy put his hand up. He said, yeah. And he said, what was it? And he said the answer. He says, okay, so you spotted it. Did you tell anyone? No. And he was the captain for the other team as well. So he saw the problem, but he didn't even communicate to his teammates. Mm. And it created a fantastic learning experience. So, and again, it just refers back full circle to the principles of the game, the principles of play. So, Yaz, you opened that question at the start, like, what's the why here? And for me, I think that, you know, what Mark's just explained is the why. It's, you've got to coach the game. Try not to steer too far away from the game. The principles are going to help players be able to solve problems. Mm. And it will look different every time.
Do you know what?
You know, one solution isn't the same that can be applied to every situation. You know, the ability to break lines won't, in the similar situation, it won't always be that solution. They may have to do something else. So it's how they're interacting with the environment. So if coaches can be intentional around the problems that we're designing, where we're creating an environment to go after a certain principles, but we're allowing the game to give lots of information. It's the skill of the coach then, of where we're guiding their attention.
And I think you're spot on, Gerard, but I think it just goes back to this whole piece around the right and why they're so important. Even just coming back off of what you, Mark, were just discussing there, I think the one question that I haven't actually thought about this in a while, but I don't think I've ever had a conversation in a while with anyone. When it comes to the principles, and even just observing your practice and linked perfectly into what Mark was saying, if you're looking at your team in training the question you need to ask, in my opinion, is this. If what they were doing right now in your training session is what they would, what they deal on a match day, would you critique or praise it? And if you would critique it because it's not something you'd expect them to do in the context of the game, then it probably should not be happening in your training sessions. It's probably not relevant to them. So if it's something you'd praise as an idea, as a concept, not because they're getting success in it, but because the objective they're trying to work towards is something you would praise because it's relevant to the game, then you're probably on the right track. And I think if you could start to look at it through that lens, would I be happy if I saw my team doing this on match day? And whether that's principle, you know, whether that's your observations around the principles being enacted, if you like, whether it's the way in which they're performing some technical actions or whatever that looks like, then you're probably at, you're probably starting off on a good base there just to understand what might be and what might not be relevant to the game. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Mark, or even Joe, if you've got any other thoughts around it.
I've got one thing to throw in there. So I'm going to use myself as an example here, like trying to be humble and be honest. So in the game, we can often, how often do people say, oh, we'll stop it? And, you know, but if that kid shoots and it goes in top corner, would you pull it back and give the coaching correction? You know, it's gone in. So yesterday, one of the girls has got the ball. She was the number nine and she's dribbled straight through the middle and going to Mark's point. In yours, she's seen the opening, she's gone for it. Now, one of the better options, which most people, and we watched it back on game footage, the probably one of the most options most people would have gone to was one of the players was making a run, and my thing was, can she play the early pass? And what tends to happen is some coaches will shout, right? They'll shout, pass, won't they? Which takes away the decision of the kid and influences them, right? And and on the bench, I was genuinely thinking, pass to Ella. Give the ball to Ella and then she's off and we're 2v1, boom. This girl saw something different and she literally went, boom, 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 dribble, 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 beat three players right down the middle, smashed, goal, scored. And she saw something totally different to what we did. Now, it's funny because the principle we'd probably normally exploit is the 2v1. And it was definitely on. And what wasn't necessarily on was, because of the time and space, was the one against three where she could dribble. But qualitatively, she had the ability to do it. And you think, oh, well, how often that's going to happen? But in the game, mate, it happened three or four times, probably because the opposition weren't very good defenders overall. But she did it. Now, there's a point, isn't it? Do you coach it and do you say, hey, give the ball? But the player's going to say, well, coach, I just dribbled past three players and put it in the back of the net. And the next time she did it, it created the opening more because they were so worried about her quality that later on in the game, I've got to add this, she actually did play that ball without me having to say anything to her. So there's a couple of things in that message. One is we've got to be careful because if we try and influence their decision, they might see something better than us. So we could take away that creativity. The second thing is later on in the game, she saw it without me even speaking to her. So again, I could have influenced her and given her the wrong coaching advice. And it was just lucky that the game went on. And later on in the game, she's dribbling. And then it became more apparent that opening for the 2v1. And she played it. And then we ended up scoring off that as well. So it's at what point do you go in as a coach and intervene on your principles?
But this is the thing, though, Jared, within that, right? It's there's no context there. And I'm sure if there was, you know, you share it now. But there's no context for us there as to whether she didn't see the pass in the first instance. But this comes back to that phrase, right? Are we observing the game through our eyes or their experience? Because she might have seen it and said, actually, no, I'm still going to go for this. Because I've got an opportunity here for me, like you quite rightly described. But then, you know, putting that same lens on it from her perspective, she's not seen it through anything other than her eyes and not your experience until you say something. So it's to what extent are we going to allow them to actually explore? Because in that moment, your experience has told you, well, this would be the good thing to do. She's seen a different pattern. And, you know, in as many respects, you'd argue that she's been quite creative in how she's seen that, because now she's demonstrated not only she's got that in her locker, but actually she's also got the other one in her locker without having to be guided towards that. She could see both, but she made a decision that this was what she was going to do instead. And I think that's probably the best part about what you just shared there. It's not she wasn't able to do this, or she didn't see that, or she couldn't notice this or notice that. she's seen that that's an option and had actually made a decision, something that we're all telling ourselves that we want our players to be able to do. And I think that's the beauty of what you've just shared there. And it's like, again, it's not through our eyes, but her own experience that she's made that decision.
Couldn't agree more. I don't know if Mark's got anything on that, because it does come back to the intentionality, doesn't it? Skilled intentionality and just the freedom, really. Oh, sorry. Just the freedom to give people the opportunity to met those. Now, a younger coach, a younger me, probably would have said, hey, pass, or hey, whatever. And then have I potentially took away, and definitely is the answer, took away a learning opportunity where she still figured it out. And the objective for her was early decisions. Like, she needs to make decisions early, typically. And she did it. So, no, I don't know if Mark's got anything on that. Oh, yeah. Obviously, it's hard. He's not seen
the very game. Hard for me to discuss this, because I don't know the girl and I don't know the relationship or the any relationship or the context or the culture. So it's very hard. But maybe it could be just a question of something like, you know, when you get a chance, say, hey, really good dribbling today, just let's see, pay attention to see if they figure out what you are going to do and what can you do to surprise them. It's all really just, I don't think there's much else to say. The girl's clearly,
oh, I love it.
I think the girl clearly just has figured something out. You know, you probably know through the research, her knowledge of the local to global knowledge of what's happening on the pitch that she's acting on. You can just come in and say, just let's see if they figure out what you're doing. Let's see what else can you do if they figure out what you're doing. If they don't figure out what you're doing, that's their problem. She'll obviously keep just doing what she's doing.
Well, there's a word that I want to take there from what Mark just said. I love using disguise, play with disguise and deceive. And how can you disguise what you're about to do, your intention? Can we play with deception? I think these are huge qualities. And we should have that in everything we do in coaching, because if we can catch people by surprise, you know, it used to be the old FA principle of unorthodox. I think it'd fall under that, wouldn't it, Yaz? Unorthodox or creativity, catch them by surprise. So this has been brilliant. I mean, there's lots to unpack, really. Just another reminder that this is an FA accredited CPD event. So anyone who wants to get an FA CPD, you just fill in the questionnaire at the end, and then you'll be eligible for 1 hour CPD as part of the series.
100%, Gerald, if you don't mind sharing that link as well. Mark, really appreciate your thoughts and your insight shared. It's been a pleasure engaging with you on this conversation as well.
No problem. Just saw you pop up and said, oh, press and listen, see what they're talking about.
Always good to get new faces and new names into the conversations, and I really enjoyed that. I really appreciate it. Just a reminder, guys, it is a FA accredited CPD, and as part of a series of spaces sessions that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, aligned to this preparing for UEFA B webinar that we're going to be running at the end of the month, which I believe, off the top of my head, if I'm not mistaken, Gerard, correct me if I'm wrong, is going to fall on the 21st, or is it the 28th? I think it's 28th of March we're going with, where, again, it's not specific for coaches that are trying to get on the UEFA B or that are currently on it. For anyone and everyone, feel free to join in that, and we'll share some links and some further information on that in the comments and obviously on our pages. So please make sure you are following us. Please continue engaging with us, and if you haven't had an opportunity to share some thoughts and insights here tonight, then don't worry, there'll be plenty of opportunities to do that going forward. And just on a general level as well, if there's any particular topics or conversations that you feel like are worth having on the space and you want to get some further insights, please do let us know. Now, we're here just, and it's great to see so many new faces in the room as well. Continue growing this coaching community and, you know, continue helping share information, insights, just so that we can continue developing ourselves as coaches. And I think it's been fantastic, especially over the last kind of year or so that myself and Gerard have been doing these sessions, that, you know, we're seeing so many coaches from different areas of the world, different parts of the game, both in the male and the female game, working in different levels and different formats of the game. So I think it's important that we do share this information. And Gerard, just to kind of sign off for me, really, that I really appreciate your thoughts, your insights as well. So guys, yeah, definitely do get in touch with us. Let us know your thoughts. If you haven't caught the whole conversation now live, then you can listen back to it. Additionally, all these conversations are later shared onto the Coaches Network podcast as well, which you can find on my profile as well. So make sure you're following us. Let us know your thoughts. Gerard, over to you, man.
I love it. No, it's just been great chatting to everyone, and just getting the thoughts from everyone. And the interactions are brilliant. And I just like what you said there, Yaz. It just got me thinking that irrespective of where you are in the journey, there was a coach that we had on the UEFA B, preparing for the UEFA B license webinar that we did last year, that we're redoing again, and we're adding new stuff to it. It's going to be exciting. And you'll remember, Yaz. I won't say his name because he might not want to be mentioned, but he's a UEFA pro license coach. He managed the national team without giving it away in Belgium. And he'd coached a significant experiences involved in a lot of methodology. And he was at a certain age and stage in his journey, if you want to say it like that. And he was still on the UEFA B webinar and he loved it and he was contributing and he was just curious. And I think that just, to me, that was like one of the best highlights of my life. I was thinking, this is awesome. Somebody with this much wealth of experience, you know, I'd probably say, God, he should be teaching this, you know. And he was still there hungry to learn. So wherever you are in your journey, if you want to be curious, you want to ask questions, you want to bounce ideas, this is what this series is all about, you know, and it's for everyone. It just goes to show because Yaz has had we've had some incredible people on this, haven't we? And it, again, great people like Mark. I encourage anyone who's on this to follow Mark O'Sullivan. He's someone that's produced a lot of really good research at the top level, as well as sharing coaching resources, and everyone else, Tony, who's an active contributor to this group, and everyone else in the community, you know, that's going to help us grow the game. So, no, brilliant, Yaz.
100%. Again, massive thank you for everyone that's been involved tonight, even if you've just been listening. Mark, a special thanks to you again for your getting involved and sharing some insights. And guys, again, make sure you're following us, continue engaging with us, let us know your thoughts, and we look forward to catching you next week. Take care, everyone. Have a great evening. Well, there you have it, guys. Another episode of the Coaches Network podcast, where our aim is to bring the world of athlete, talent, and personal development together to just one platform. And you can help us with that mission right now by sharing this episode or any of your favorite episodes with everyone that you can think of. You can tag us in those mentions as well on Instagram at the Coaches Network or on Twitter at the Coaches Net. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. And until next time, guys, take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.